This is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, beginning with verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd among them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There is a plethora of good stuff in these lessons today. It's an interesting story what you heard in the gospel lesson. Jesus and Peter, James, and John had just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured, where he glowed, and he talked with Moses and Elijah about his coming departure. He comes down the mountain, and there he sees the rest of the disciples in hot debate with some teachers of the law. They had been trying to cast a demon out of a little boy. The father had brought the little boy, hoping to find Jesus. And the disciples thought they should go ahead and do it. So they tried, and they failed. Now, they had previously cast demons out, these disciples. Jesus had sent them out two by two. And they came back after their little missionary excursion for a few days, and they reported to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." So they had done it, but they failed this time. Why would that be? Well, at the end of that lesson, Jesus says, when they asked him, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." I have to believe, because we aren't really told precisely what Jesus meant by that. So you have to look at the rest of Scripture, the voice of Scripture, and put two and two together. And I have to believe that what Jesus is getting at is that they were trying to do this in their own strength. What do you do when you pray? You talk to God. What happens when you talk to God? You get built up. You become stronger spiritually. And I think that dad brought the little boy. Jesus wasn't there. And I think the disciples basically said, "Don't worry, we got this." And they proceeded to do it in their own strength. They weren't, as some people like to say, they weren't prayed up. You see, the name of Jesus is powerful. What does Scripture say in Philippians? At the name of Jesus, every knee will what? And every tongue will that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? At the very name of Jesus. I want you to know something. You've heard me say this before. You will hear me say this again. And I'll keep saying it until you get it. Just kidding. But it's true. We need to be reminded of this. Everywhere you walk is holy ground. Is holy ground because you carry with you the Spirit of the living God. Isn't that awesome? Everywhere you walk is holy ground, and you carry with you an authority. Now, it's not your authority. It's the authority of Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're an ambassador speaking in His name. But what do we speak? We speak the Word. We speak the truths of God. Yesterday, Stephanie and I went to see the movie War Room. Who's seen that movie, War Room? Stephanie and I had to drive separately, and we met there, and then we drove home, so I didn't have a chance to talk to her about what she thought of the movie until we got home, and she said, the best Christian movie she'd ever seen. It was awesome. Now, because I went through seminary, that makes me a theologian. I'm not the best theologian in the world, but this is the first Christian movie I couldn't find any fault with. Theologically. It was awesome! So, it was about prayer. It was about standing on the Word in prayer. I won't give the plot away and all that, but I encourage you to go see it. So this morning, we decided to stand on the Word. Our sister in Christ, most of you know her, Wanda Barnard, has a brain tumor. She's having surgery tomorrow morning. It's gone from 0.4 centimeters in March, I believe, no, in May, to 1.5 centimeters a week or so ago. So they're doing surgery tomorrow morning. She was not able to be here this morning, but Jim, her husband, was. Jim being the head of the household, I went over here, he was sitting right where you are, Chase, and I gathered people and we laid hands on Jim, praying for Wanda in proxy, standing on the word in James that says, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer offered in faith will raise that man up, for the prayers of a righteous man are indeed powerful and effective. So God's going to touch Wanda. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Not that I'm a righteous person all by myself, but you know what? Myself, all who are gathered around Jim, and all in this room who are praying are righteous because of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ unto us. And so a prayer prayed in faith, standing on the word, is the prayer of a righteous person and will avail much, will bring about much. So pray for Wanda today and tomorrow. Her surgery is scheduled for 1 o'clock. Okay? We are praying, maybe, it could be, God can do this, that when they do an MRI tomorrow on her at about 7 in the morning, we're praying that it's gone. I don't know whether that is God's will or not, but if it is, it will be because we stood on faith. Right? Okay. Standing on the word. Now, our brother Mark Gephardt is here, and he has something that God has placed on his heart about that. We invite him to come and share, and also share what God's up to with Civic. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
We're doing this microphone exchange so that you can have the opportunity to see brother here and brother everywhere together. Mark 1 and Mark 2. And so even though he is a Buffalo Bills fan,
yeah,
we're with him. Do you know that one, at one time this man was the abbot of Cabot, a little whistle stop in Pennsylvania where he was starting out in ministry, Cabot, Pennsylvania. Anybody ever been to or heard of Cabot, Pennsylvania? Huh? See, it's living proof. He's living proof that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a great joy to be with you. First of all, I want to thank you all for standing with us and believing in the things that God is doing everywhere. When we exchange emails, he is a brother here. You'd understand what I'm referring to, right? Let's say it together. With God's help to make lifelong committed followers of Jesus here, there, and everywhere. So he is brother here and I am brother everywhere. But in faith combined, we're seeing great things happen. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, the word of God says, my word which I send forth will not return to me void, but will accomplish that purpose for which it has been sent. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was sent, and to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, to as many as believed on his name. So we receive the Word. We receive this Word of salvation, and this Word then, which Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, the fullness of the Godhead. So the full capacity of God. We say in Spanish, la plenitud de la deidad. It means all the Jehovahs. In God, in Christ, in us. So now we are those who take his word to neighbors and nations. And this is our responsibility. So the reason that we want all of our church members to be in Bible studies, signed up to get the daily pick-me-up from Pastor Mark on the internet, which I get and look forward to every morning, constantly filling ourselves with the Word of God and being familiar with the Word of God is so that our minds will be renewed by the washing of regeneration by the Word of God, so that when situations arise, pressures arise, we will speak the Word of God, which will not return to Him void, rather than our own thinking or our own opinion or our own perspective, so that the Word of God increases in our lives and our own weak thoughts dissolve, because His Word is higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours, you see? And so then Christian maturity is to get the Word greater than our own, the will greater than our own, and the ways of God greater than our own ways. So that in that sweet surrender to the power of the Word, our lives are no longer returning void, but we are accomplishing that purpose for which we have been sent. Did you get all that? I tell you that the Bible is the only tangible, physical piece of the armor of God that is found in Ephesians chapter 6. You cannot pick up a helmet that is the helmet of salvation. You cannot pick up a shield that is the shield of faith. You cannot pick up a breastplate that is the breastplate of righteousness. But you can pick up the Word of God, which is the sword. You can take it up, and you can work in it, with it, and through it. Isn't that exciting? So then when the enemy surrounds us, when there's despair and defeat on every side, we do not trust in our own understanding, but we lean to the promises, the Word, the testimony that will not return void, but will accomplish that purpose for which it has been given. Amen? So please, be sure to sign up for the Bible classes and get to them, because it's for our own benefit. And as strong as you are here, we are everywhere. Right? My dear friend Joanne Arnett is here today from the... Now, it's still the Center of Biblical Studies to me. It's now a college, Tallahassee Bible College, is it? Is that right? Tallahassee Christian College. Wonderful teachers, great courses. A way to avail ourselves of the Word. I tell you, if you're a wordless believer today, it's by your choice. We got Bibles everywhere. We got teachings everywhere. If you're struggling and the Word is not working in your life, it's your choice. You don't pack it in. So enough of that. Now let me talk to you about a word. The word in this case is the word resurrection. Resurrection. We're working in Cambodia. In Cambodia is a Buddhist country, Buddhist fatalism. There's reincarnation is the word. So if I do a good job as a worm, I might come back as a dog. Then if I live a good life as a dog, I'm a good little dog, I might get to come back as a pig. And then if I live a good little life as a, and this is what they think. This is Buddhism. Our word is resurrection. In coming to Cambodia and walking and praying for the place during the Civil War, during the time of Pol Pot, I began to cry out to God, Lord, somebody's going to win this war. It doesn't matter to me who does, but at the end of the day, there are going to be all these little kids. Their education has been interrupted. Their schools have been destroyed. They will be a hopeless, lost generation in the middle of between the minefields and the killing fields. So, Lord, you have to raise up in the power of your resurrection, raise up a generation that is Christ-centered, Bible-based, Spirit-filled, excellent in education, that will be a testimony to your resurrection power. First in Cambodia, then in ASEAN nations, and then around the world. And I believe you will do this because you rose from the dead. You said you would raise from the dead. You rose from the dead. therefore your word is true. It's not relative to anything. It is absolute truth. And I began to pray this way. And the key word, resurrection. Time passed. We were invited to participate in a public school in Runcorn Cluster Village. So soon we had a school of 4,100 kids between K-3 and 12th grade. I said, I'll be glad to help with the school, but we have to have the Lord's Prayer to start the day in a public school, and we have to have memory verses, and we have to sing worship to Jesus, because it's His resurrection power that is going to raise up this community. For the last 6 years, we have been number one in the nation in science and math, also in English, but they won't give us the award because we're native English speakers. They say you cheat. So we received, on your behalf and all those who support SEAPC, I was privileged to receive a Nation Builders Award from the Deputy Prime Minister of Cambodia. And there in the assembly were our 4,000 students and their parents and their grandparents and then all the teachers and then all the hoo-hoo from the politics and the whole thing. More than 10,000 people there under these beautiful tents. And the general came, you know, and put the ribbon around my neck and the hoo-ha, hoo-ha. And then they said, would you like to speak? Well, you know, no, I don't want to. Yes, of course. And so I shared what I just shared with you. I believe in the power of the resurrection. This is a key word. This is a new word. This is not a Buddhist word. This is not a Cambodian word. Resurrection. It doesn't exist. In the power of the resurrection. And I explained that I believe in the resurrection because Jesus said He would raise from the dead, and He did. So His word is true. And I believe that through the power of the resurrection, He is raising up a generation in excellence in Cambodia that will be a witness in the areas. And I said to the people, and I verified with the translator, this is all he said. If you agree with me, stand up. And 10,000 people leapt to their feet and cheered. And the general looked around like, who is this guy? If you want to get a politician's attention, get 10,000 people to jump up and cheer when you speak. He wants to know, who are you? So he began to build a relationship with us. After several months, he said to me, can you help me? I said, what do you need? He said, every year, children and their families leave here and go to Thailand illegally. And this is where they get involved in all the different aspects of human trafficking. Because they're in Thailand illegally, they have no legal, they can't return, they're stuck. And we're losing our children. We're losing a generation into slavery. I said, okay, what to do? He said, can you please do in the province, the whole province, what you've done in your school? I said, I can. Hey, all things are possible to him who believes, right? I said, I can. But you have to give me Jesus. I have to be able to have the Lord's Prayer in the morning. I have to be able to have Bible reading. I have to be able to introduce Jesus Christ in every one of those schools in that province, 488 schools. You give me that, I believe we can help you. He said, that's not mine to give. Only the Prime Minister can give that. And I said, well, you talk to the Prime Minister. I said, look, it's very practical. The people who support us are Christian people. When I ask them for the money to be able to do this, they're going to say to me, are you able to talk about Jesus? If I hesitate or have to say no, they're not going to give the money. I wouldn't. I would never invest in anything that didn't proclaim Jesus Christ. It's just a practical matter. You know, he said, I'll check. 2 days later, he called back. He said, Hun Sen, who is our prime minister in Cambodia, Mr. Hun Sen says, so it's official, you tell Mr. Mark that if he can do that in Bate Minche province, we will give him every province in this nation to do it. And yes, he can feel free to proclaim Jesus Christ in doing it.
Resurrection.
It's a new word. Resurrection power. It's a new concept. No reincarnation. Resurrection. You see, introducing words into cultures change the culture. And so where are we beginning? We're beginning with this little itty-bitty seed. See this seed right here? This is just a little itty-bitty seed. What this is a children's bilingual picture Bible produced by Every Home for Christ, Brother Dick Eastman. And actually, this is his grandson on the cover. Isn't it funny how grandfathers always get the pictures of their grandchildren? So, his grandson on the cover. This one is one that we've used in China. It is a Chinese on top and English on the bottom. So as a teacher, if you're teaching reading, you have the word, you have the picture. You see? If you're trying to teach a second language, like in Tibet, this is our number one in Tibet. If you're trying to teach Tibetan children Chinese, which they're going to need to know, then this top part is Tibetan and the bottom part is Chinese. But they're all the Bible stories. So you're introducing a completely new vocabulary. You're telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this is where we begin. We did our demographics. We have 127,000 children in school right now in our province. 127,000 kids. So we're printing 150,000 copies of this because we're going to need them for the teachers, workers, and so forth. So we're printing 150,000 copies of these, which we plan to distribute for Christmas. They don't have Christmas. So in place of Santa Claus, will be the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now that rings a bell, doesn't it? The Word of God. And this is just the beginning. I've retired from the Southeast Asia Prayer Center. I used to be responsible for operations in 75 countries. I'm not anymore. I have 4 countries, Mexico, Cambodia, India, and China. And my son Matthew now is the president, and he does all the other 71 countries. Good deal, huh? Yeah. At the same time this has happened, the Communist Party Politburo of the People's Republic of China came to me. They said, "Mr. Mark, we have a big problem." I said, "Well, you got a lot of problems, but which problem are you talking about?" They said, "Autism. Autism. We estimate 15 million children with autism in China. What can I do for you?" They said, "You're the people who did the touching hearts in Tibet, right?" "Right. And you brought the healing of congenital heart disease in Tibet, right?" I said, "Right, that's us, yes. We would like for you to establish the protocols and practices for the training of all teachers and families to deal with children with autism in the entire People's Republic of China. Can you do that?" "Sure. We would be glad to do that. There's just one thing. We have to be able to talk about Jesus. We have to be able to pray for kids and pray for families. We have to be able to bring the Word of God to those families without hindrance. You give me that, we'll give you the rest." They had a discussion. Welcome to the People's Republic of China. The 10-year contract has been signed. Key word? I asked them, "Why me?" "Man, I don't have a degree in education. I don't know, for sure don't have a degree in special education. I don't honestly don't even know the vocabulary that goes with the treatment of autism. I don't. They throw around this ABA, DBA, AB. I have the faintest idea what they're talking about. They are speaking in tongues. The head of all women's affairs of the People's Republic of China said to me, "You have faith." Faith. I say, "You recruited me because I have faith." Yes. You looked at a young child who was going to die from heart disease, and you had the faith to believe that that child could have a full and abundant life. And you cured that child. Yes. All China knows it. So when we looked at this insurmountable problem, we said what we need is a person with faith. You believe in the sanctity of human life. Yes. You believe that every child is a precious gift from God. Yes. You believe there can be a hope and a future for that child. Yes. That's why we recruited you. We need faith. I don't know if you've ever had a member of the Politburo of the world's largest communist nation say to you, "We need faith." But faith is a word. And faith is in the Word. And that's why it is absolutely essential for we Christians, as this world is coming unglued, redefining itself, to hold to the faith and have our conversation be what the Word says. Not necessarily our opinion, unless it agrees with what the Word says. Not our interpretation, but the actual Word of God, which is now sent forth into all the earth through the church, His instrument for righteousness in the earth, so that we, speaking the truth, which is the Word of God, in love, may help these people to be saved. For it is the will of God that none of them would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Again, I want to thank you very, very much for participating with us, believing with us, give you this little report. Matthew could give you 73 other reports. Together, here, there, and everywhere, this vision is being accomplished. And it's such a joy. Isn't it a joy? Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Read the Word. Sing the Word. Meditate the Word. Wear it on your mind. Wear it on your actions, your hands. Wear it. I mean, just clothe yourself in the Word of God. Don't let your head drift into that computer games. Don't let your head drift off into the NFL. It's not for long if it keeps going the way it is. Just don't get caught up in all that stuff. But stay focused on God's purpose and destiny, His reason for our being here and being here today. And let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We live in a world without wisdom. Yet we who are believers, we have the greatest tool of wisdom ever given. Sure, it's old school. Very old, actually. But it's tried, it's tested. It's true. His Word is true. It's beautiful for situations. It's how to answer. Let me just close with this. My grandson, one is 5, one is 2, coming to 3. Thank God. And little Rock, the little two-year-old, when I come home from a trip or comes in, he gets to come to our house Tuesdays. We have the kids. So Tuesday, here he comes, little Rock, ready to roll. And he always comes up to me and just stares at me, waiting for me to hug him, hold him. And I always, the word we're working on now is ophthalmology. Yeah, when he reaches up to pull my glasses off, he has to say ophthalmology before he takes my. Maybe he'll be an ophthalmologist. Who knows? But we sow these words. We're sowing words. We're doing songs. We're singing Jesus. We're working Jesus. Now, he's in a great Christian home, but we just keep putting it in there, man, putting it in there. We have, I tell you, there's very little difference between the way I relate to my grandson in speaking the word into his life and the way I relate to the deputy prime minister of Cambodia and speaking the word into his life, and the way I relate to this member of the Politburo in China and speaking the word of God into her life. We fill ourselves. Be filled with the word of God. Let it govern our thoughts. Let it be an anchor for our souls, both steadfast and sure. And let it dwell in us and flow out to this community. Again, thank you. I have some pamphlets, things out there. Please avail yourself of the opportunity. If you're not presently getting our magazine, which is really neat magazine, if you're not getting it, please sign up somewhere for it. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this light on this corner in this community. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray you'd bless them and prosper them. I pray, O Lord, that you'd reignite the fire in our hearts to know your word, study your word, memorize your word. I pray, O God, all sickness would be away from us. That you would watch over every family. All calamity away from us. In the name of Jesus. Bless and prosper them, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, I want you to look at that picture on the wall. What does it say? It says freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah. What Mark was talking about is freedom for those children and families in China. How many million?
15
million children. And will they be benefited by the ministry that CPAC will coordinate, trying to help these families with their autistic children? Well, absolutely. But they will also hear about Jesus. And they will experience freedom. In Cambodia, those children who start each day with the Lord's Prayer and with a memory verse will experience freedom. And as they receive this little book at Christmas time and they read the stories, God the Holy Spirit will work through the Word to place faith in their hearts, and they will experience freedom. And our door offering to CPAC will help make this happen. And God wants there to be freedom in your life and in the life of the people that you care about as well. Freedom for people who do not yet know Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, not just for us. He died on the cross for everyone in this world. For all of us were born separated from God because of our sinful nature and our sinful parents. We inherited sin from our parents. But Jesus came to give us rebirth of spirit so that we can be alive and with God forever. But not just us. The church is still on earth because Jesus has not yet come back, because he wants to bring freedom to more people. In China, in Cambodia, in Mexico, where you sometimes go. Tallahassee, our neighborhoods. He wants us to have the freedom of the forgiveness of sins, freedom from our sins, and the freedom of and the joy that comes from the freedom that we will be forever with God in heaven by the grace of God. Hallelujah. We want to stand on the Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We want people to know Jesus for their freedom.